I'm going to talk to you this morning about prayer or talking to God. And this prayer here, often people say in Matthew chapter 6, it's evident it's called the Lord's Prayer. And realistically, doctrinally, a Christian is not in this prayer. You're still in the New Testament at this point. Doctrinally and realistically, it is a prayer for the nation of Israel. Okay? The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. When he's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane and he talks to his Father and he's got his apostles around him. That's the Lord's Prayer. If you want some models for some real good applicable things in your life, the Apostle Paul, which is the apostle to the Gentiles, you'll find him starting out in the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. You'll find out in Thessalonians 2, he's praying for those Christians, some things for those Christians. So those are great prayers if you want to doctrinally take them. And the Apostle Paul's prayers for us saved people, Christians. But I want to talk to you this. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to use this prayer in John chapter 6 to learn some things and try to edify you this morning. And look with me in John chapter 6. We'll read verses 1 through 15. And pay attention because we're Americans. We believe we should always have a good return on our work. Amen? Isn't that how our society runs? That's why we work. That's why we do the things we do. That's why we invest. Because when you put forth an effort, what should come out? Something for the effort you put in. That's how, listen, we're not from Ham, we're not from Shem, we're from Japheth. You're a Japhethite, one of the boys that got off of Noah's boat. You know what your job is to do? Build and expand. And that's what you've done in history. And so what your mindset is if I put this labor in, I should get something out. And you read through here, I want you to pay attention to the word reward. Because prayer is hard work. And prayer has a reward to it. And don't you know that the enemy of your soul, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil has come to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So what I'm saying today is point blank, is if you're not benefiting in prayer, you're being stolen from. And you ought to get mad at that. Because the Bible says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible says, guys, that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And Paul went on to say that we're supposed to put on the... we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And he says, put the helmet on. He said, put the breastplate on. He said, gird your loins. He said, let your feet be shod with the gospel. He said, take the shield of faith. And he said, take the sword of the Spirit. And we're in a spiritual battle. Pastor Bob preached on that last week. And he said, and pray always. Prayer. Prayer is that thing that gets things done with God. And oftentimes you and I try to fix things on ourselves on a horizontal, and there's just some things that can't be fixed if God doesn't do the fixing. Amen. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, what you find out is there is clothing for this, there's clothing for this, there's clothing for this, there's clothing for those. You have a shield and you have a sword, but there is no clothing for the shins. Because Paul said you ought to be praying. Well, if a man's praying, it's evident there's no clothing for the back. Because you don't turn your enemy to the back and hightail. You're always facing your enemy. But in facing your enemy, the way that you face him is not through your money, not through your credit card, not through your own knowledge, not through your understanding, not through what you think, but it's down on your knees. Amen. And that's where the power comes from, and the enemy knows that. Amen. That's the last thing Jesus Christ did before he went to be beat within an inch of his life. He said, Father, if it be thy will. That's the last thing he did. Father, if it be thy will. He prayed. Prayer is very important. And in a busy day and age in which we live in, you're being robbed from. Amen. And so that's my message today. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So in prayer, you need a vision. We know about visions as Americans today. We love pictures. If it don't have a picture, I don't know if we can get her to go. So if I can paint a picture in your mind of what prayer is, hopefully you won't be billy clubbed into having to do it, because that's not prayer. Prayer is you being drawn into a thing that's very rewarding. You know why I like coffee? It's rewarding. You know why you like chocolate? Because you like chocolate. You know why you like a good steak? You know why you keep going back again and again? Because something draws you. Now, the child of God, it's the same thing with prayer. And you and I as Americans today, being Americans and having our heritage built on this book, I mean, what did George Washington do after he got his fanny beat? And his soldiers were about wiped out, and they crossed that river there, and he went and he said, "Oh God." And there's a picture of him. Prayer. Read with me here. Look at Matthew chapter number 6, verse 1. "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no," there it is, "reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto thee, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward." Look at that, three times, reward. "Thee openly. And when thou prayest," that's my subject this morning, talking to God. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I'd ask you this morning, do you have a secret place with God on a daily basis in your life and in your home, where all the electricity's turned off, all the beeping and the buzzing's turned off, and you can find just a little secret place where you get alone with God? And if you don't, you're being robbed from. And you need to add that to your Christian life. Now, I know we're a praying church. We pray. We come Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. We take prayer requests and we pray. And that's wonderful to pray as a congregation. But I'm talking about individually. In order for you to have a big fire, you got to keep your coal lit. And if your coal goes out, then you bring it back to the fire. But we need a whole bunch of lots of coals to stay hot so we can have a fire here. God said in the Old Testament, I don't want the candle to go out in the temple. But hence you see in the churches of Revelation chapter 3, he says, "I'll take your candle away." Why? Because the fire died out. He says there, "But when thou prayest, thou enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall" what? "Reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them." You got to put a check onto what you're saying to God. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now let's pray just for a minute. God, we just thank you for the privilege to be in church today. Lord, it's good to be saved. Lord, it's good to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's good, Lord, to be accepted into the Beloved. It's good, Lord, to be kept by the power of God. It's good, Lord, that we are led by the Spirit of God. We're comforted by the Spirit of God. And we're taught by the Spirit of God. Lord, we are insignificant. You are everything. And we need your help today. We need, Lord, the power of your Spirit, Lord, to cleanse this church and to cleanse what's in here that would want to stop the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God to go forward powerfully and to bring edification to us so that we walk away from this place, we would be different. And Lord, we'd be desired to be drawn unto thee. Only you can do that, and I ask that you do that today and glorify yourself in this place, illumine our minds, and make this subject of prayer real to us. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us an example or a model on how to pray or how to talk to God. And the thing that I want to try to capture your attention with today is, there is a reward in prayer. You say, prove it. No, you prove it. Okay, I'll prove it. Hey, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Through a prayer, through a heart belief, and a prayer to God, that's how important prayer is. Your eternity is changed from darkness to light, from hell to heaven.
Amen.
Through what? Just you talking to God. It doesn't stop there, though. It doesn't stop there. My kids talk to me all the time as a father. Can I drive the car? Can I have the keys? Mom, where's your phone? Can I look at your phone? Hey, what's for supper today? Hey, where's my clothing? Yada, yada, yada. The kids are constantly talking because they're in need. Amen? Unfortunately, as Americans today, we don't have very many needs. And God told the Laodicean church, he said, because you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And so that's why you come to church and that's why you get preached at.
Amen.
Try to knock that darkness away. Listen, boy, try to knock the fallacy away of what the world slops on you and what the devil slops on you daily.
Yep.
Now, this is just a model. I'm going to try to draw from it for some practical, applicable, daily things that you can talk to God about. Let me try to encourage you. Just because someone or something doesn't seem that it's there doesn't mean it's not there. You can have all the God you want. Listen, God will give you, you give God the steering wheel, he'll give you the gas pedal. Especially living in America. You know the Chinese folks are praying that Christians would be persecuted in America because the Chinese are experiencing God in such a great level.
They are.
So this is just an example or a model. Now, what should be understood about talking to God first and foremost? It's that it should be from the heart. Not vain. You have to put a check on how you start your prayers. And for you just to pray the Our Father every day isn't going to do much for God, and it's not going to do much for you. That's not from the heart. Talking to God first and foremost should be from the heart. You know, it's like when Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They enjoyed one another's fellowship. They talked one with another. I mean, it might even be the Lord's problem that Adam came up with some of those names. All those crazy names that are out there. It might not be all Adam's fault. I'm sure the Lord might have had, call her woman. Well, wait a minute. Hey, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day until that third party came in.
Yes.
And Adam and Eve fell after eating from that tree. And all of a sudden, God came walking through there one day, and after Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which they knew not to eat from, God said, Adam, Adam, as if he didn't know where Adam was. You know what there was? What's that song? Silence. Sorry about that. Silence. Because of the third party that intervened. Hey, what's your third party today that's causing silence between you and God? Oh yeah, it's there. You have a third party, and that third party needs to be kicked out. Talking with God is talking to God from the heart. Listen, when you get foxhole religion, you'll talk with God.
Amen.
You'll talk with God right from the heart. Talking with God. It's like a soldier that's pinned down in a foxhole or gets foxhole religion. It's words from the heart, not just from the head or the lips. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 says, now I'm talking about prayer. And it has to be from the heart. You talking to God from the heart. Matthew 15, verse 8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor with me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Man, you listen, the doctor starts telling you the bad news, and guess what happens? You start talking to God from the heart.
Yes.
Well, that's a fair-weathered friend, guys. We ought not be a fair-weather friend to God. There's no need to be. You say, "I ain't got no problems." Then you got plenty to be thankful about that you can talk to God about. It's talking to God from the heart. When you get that bad news, all of a sudden you see them flashers from the cop in your rearview mirrors. You know what you're saying? Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. What brought it? Trouble. Hey, let's get to the "oh God" part before trouble moves in. That's what he's looking for. Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing." I'm talking about how you talk to God. You talk to God from your heart. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." But what's the biggest word in that thing? Supplication. Supplicating before your God and with your God. There's a movie out there. It's based on a true story. It's called Unbroken. Anybody ever seen it? I'd recommend it. A few of you have. Unbroken. It's about a fellow by the name of Louis Zapparini. World War II. He's in the Air Force. Gets shot down. Gets shot down by the Japs over there in the Pacific. They're in a raft for 47 days. A whole bunch of guys around them getting eaten by sharks, ain't got nothing to eat. They try to eat a pelican and get sick, and all 47 days. And one time, they're just in a little raft like this. I'm talking about talking to God from the heart, and he's an unbeliever, if I remember the story correctly. And he was an unbeliever because he came from a rough background. And he's in that raft, and a huge storm comes. Him and his buddy, three guys in a raft. One guy dies. They shoot him overboard. Now they're in a huge storm. And they're in this huge storm, and all of a sudden, he says, "God," talking to God from the heart. He says, "God, I don't know you, but God, if you get me out of this mess, I'll serve you the rest of my life." Yeah, God got him out of the mess. Here comes a big shadow, and it was a Japanese ship. And he goes into POW, unbroken. But you know what? He talked to God from the heart. And listen, practical application. Considering yourself in a quiet place with your God, it's either in a quiet place with your God, or it's in a quiet place with your God. Or it's in a quiet place with your God. Or it's in a quiet place with your God. You choose. Which one's going to bring you life? Which one's going to bring you death? That's how important prayer is between you and your God. Man said, "I could follow you around for the day, and I could list the gods from A to B, that you A to Z that you have in your life." Talk to God as if you're realizing what and who you are, and what and who God is, and what his capabilities and power are. You're the created. He's the creator. Talking to God from your heart, that you realize you're the child of God. He's the Father. You're the weak one. He's the strong one. You're the saved sinner. He's the Savior. I don't need that life ring. Yes, you do. I got it 20 years ago when I got saved. No, you're going to enter back out in the oceans of life, and you need that Savior just as much as when you got saved back there as you do today. I just wonder, will you enter out into the deeps with the Savior of the life ring, or will you go out and try to tread water yourself? And oftentimes, without checking in with God before you go out into the depths of the deeps and all the nasty by and by, you go out there by yourself. You don't go out with the presence of God. The presence of God is like a life ring. Throw out the lifeline. Talking to God from the heart is you are the subject in a kingdom, and God is the king. Hey, you're the purchased possession. And he's the one that purchased you with his own precious shed blood. You're the servant to the master. You're the man, and he's God. I'll give you one more. You're in His universe. You're created and held together. You and this universe are created and held together by His infinite mercy, power, and wisdom. You're being held together right now. The Bible says He hath created all things, and by Him do all things consist. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He's holding you together today in His infinite mercy and wisdom. We tread as saved people, we tread all over His holiness. You say, you don't understand, I'm living a holy life. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this. Praise the Lord. But are you doing the things they would have you to do? Because if you're not doing the things you don't think He wants you to do, but you're doing the things He doesn't want you to do, but you're not doing the things He wants you to do, He's a balanced God. And that's how you have to approach Him. Now, He's the Father, we're the children. What is talking to God or prayer to God? Well, look at verse number 9 right there. It's like talking to a father. Jesus says right there, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. Now, you see that it says our Father? That's Jewish up and down. That's the nation of Israel saying, our Father. The Father that gave those Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'm going to spiritualize it. Hey, we have a Father today. Yeah. Hey, listen, when you got saved, folks, God, before you got saved, you know who God was? God was your judge. And God is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 that we were the enemies of God. Amen. We were children of wrath.
Amen.
And when you got saved, God turned from being your judge to being your Father. And we are adopted into the family of God. And that's how God would have it to be today. God the Father is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't have to burn somebody or let somebody experience Him for all eternity. Seems how He's a consuming fire just so He can get vengeance on someone. God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
He is a God of mercy. The Bible says that He's rich in mercy and in long-suffering. Pray to God as a father. And it says there in verse number 9, prayer to God as a father, it's a form of communication to a person. You have to understand that. It's a form of communication. Talking to God is to a father. It's talking to an invisible God. You know, it's funny. You know them big bad apostles and disciples? It's amazing that they walk with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. And half the time, a quarter of the time, they didn't even understand what He's talking about. Now check this out. You and I are 2019 years removed or 2,000 years removed from the life of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you, if you walked with Jesus Christ, you left your business, you left your family, check in once in a while via Facebook or on Twitter or internet, or if they had it back there, I don't know if they did or not. But you walked with Him, don't you think that you'd about have everything figured out? You walk side by side with Jesus Christ. You experience the sunshine. You experience the bread and the fish that he fed you. You experience the power to be able to raise the dead through the powers that He gave you as an apostle. Don't you think you'd have it figured out? Philip comes to Jesus one day after Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I believe it was Philip in John chapter 14 says, all right, all right, all right, praise the Lord, a mansion in glory. I'll have a few sliders in mine, and Peter, he can have whatever. But I'll get it if you'll just show Me the Father. Jesus, I get it, man. I believe in you. I will believe in you more and more and more that you're going to go prepare a mansion. It's going to be a beautiful mansion. But we just show us the Father. Talking to God is talking to a person. It's like talking to a father figure. And Jesus said, have not I been so long time with thee, Philip? The Father was right there with him.
Amen.
On a daily basis, guys, the father figure is right there with you.
Amen.
You say, why does He let me go through this? Why does He let me go through that? Because He's a great Father. You're a purchased possession. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "What manner of love that the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "The Father pitieth the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." What is talking? Talking to God is number one, talking to God is from the heart. In a secret place. When you master the secret place, then the Bible says pray without ceasing. I've prayed for five of you in the last 15 seconds. And you walk through your day and you can pray without ceasing as the Spirit gives you unction and nudges you, and you sin and you pray and you do things good and you pray and you glorify God. That's walking with God. Who was it back there in that Old Testament? And the Bible says he walked with God and he was not, for God translated him. Who was it?
Enoch.
He walked with God. That, see, this isn't religion in here. It's daily fellowship with a living Savior and an invisible God walking through the day like Adam and Eve did. It's talking to God as your Father. I can remember some conversations with my dad. I know when I was a long ways away and we had to be somewhere and it's time for me to come in, I can never forget the yell of my father, "Jip!" And then if it went, you know, if it got a little deeper and then a little longer, I knew I was right in that medium spot where Dad was fixing to get it. He's angry, and I get home. I better answer that first one, amen? He's talking to God as a father. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Paul said that he bows his knees in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what? A father is put in place over the family and children as an authoritative figure. That's what a father is, right? Y'all doing okay? Do I got to do jumping jacks up here? Can somebody turn that air down just a little bit? It's getting stuffy. Hey, a father is an authoritative figure.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Does the weight hang on you or does it hang on your father? You see, that's the key to this whole scenario. The key is to let the weight hang on your father. It's his problem. Hey, you're his creation, folks. He's wise enough. He's powerful enough. He's strong enough. He's infant enough to take care and to handle the liabilities of what he created.
Amen.
And if he couldn't, he wouldn't be a great God. He wouldn't be a good God. But he is a great God. He's a strong God. And the liabilities hang on him. But you have to know where to hang them. If you bear them, you're going to get worn out. You're going to get bitter and you're going to say, "It ain't working." You know, it's like that kid that's got a problem with his car. And he's tried everything. He's tried everything. He's tried everything. And his dad is a great mechanic. And his dad being a good dad seems how his dad learned how to be a great mechanic. The kid tried everything to get that car fixed. And finally, the kid goes, you hear him slam down the tools. And he says, "That's it." That's New York. I don't know how you do it in Minnesota. "I've tried everything." The dad says, "You ain't tried everything." "I've tried everything. Everything I've looked up. I've Googled. I've blah, blah, blah." Dad said, "You ain't tried everything." "Well, just what haven't I tried? Did you think about asking me to help you?" Yeah. Talking to God as a father. Talking to God from the heart. The father is put in place over the family and children as an authoritative figure, as a guide, as a protector, as a provider, as an instructor, kind of like a gardener with trees or a garden. It's his responsibility if that thing gets weeded. It's kind of his responsibility if it bears fruit or not with trees or in a garden, correct? Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, "I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman." He's a great husbandman. Prayer, talking to God, is like it's talking to a person. It's like a father. It's talking to the heart. Now, you know, it's so funny. When you pray, what do you have envisioned in your mind when you pray? When you pray? Well, generally it's string beans and green beans and It's a hamburger, and I got a tall glass of iced tea right there, and there's salt and pepper on the table, and that's when I pray. Oh, man, that's the wrong vision to only pray, folks. If you're just praying at the dinner table, man, you're being stolen from. And I know we pray, but there's a lot more to it in the Christian life. Listen, prayer is like the oil of the engine. Prayer is like the gasoline of the engine. Prayer is like the tires, man. Prayer is a lot. So when you pray to a person. And when you pray from your heart. But when you pray, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When you get down on your knees, or wherever you pray, what's the vision that you have? You need that. You need that. Let me encourage you that you need that in your life to understand what's going on. Again, just because it's not there doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Do you get tempted by the devil? Do you see him? No. Is he still there? So when you pray, what's the vision you have when you pray? Let me try to paint a picture for you. When you pray, look at Revelation chapter number 4. Let me try to paint a picture. Wow, say that three times fast. Paint a picture. When you pray, you need to have this vision right here. What a privilege it is. Guys, listen. When before Jesus died and there was a wall set between us Gentiles and the Jews, listen, they had special privileges. And we were considered aliens. God gave them Jews special privileges, and there was a wall, Ephesians chapter 2, that was between them folks, between the Jews and the Gentiles, and that wall of partition was broken down when Jesus died and rose again. Now we've got privileges. And when you pray, let me paint this picture, and I'll move on. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Let me read it very quickly. I might skip some verses, but I think you'll understand what I'm trying to go after. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter.'" So John gets hauled up to heaven. That's where your prayers go. "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne." That's one I want to paint the picture of. A throne. That's what you need to paint the picture in your mind when you pray to God, is a throne.
Amen.
And he says, and he that sat on it was to look as a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in the sight like an emerald. Round about the throne there were 24 seats. Look at verse number 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass and a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. Throne, 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 throne. Who sits on a throne? A king. Look at what are they doing up there? Look at verse number 8. "The four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within in the rest of the day and night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come.' And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat there," communicating with him, guys. That's what prayer is. It's giving glory. It's given honor. It's given thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. "And the 24 elders fell down before him." Looks like a place of prayer almost to me, and a place of worship. "That sat on the throne." Hey, listen, when Jesus was a baby, you know what those three wise men did? Man, things haven't changed with creation as far as God and his creation. They came and they brought some rewards. And they kneeled down and they gave those rewards away. It hasn't changed. That's the picture that should be painted in your mind. Verse number 11, verse number 10, "The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.'" What am I trying to paint today? In your mind, a picture to, what's the word? Not establish you, not to esteem you, to stimulate. To stimulate you. To stimulate you, to get a picture in your mind that when you pray, it's real.
Amen.
You're praying to a God that's up on His throne. And look at Hebrews chapter 4. Go back just a couple pages there. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse number 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne."
Amen.
"Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Here's some rewards. "That we may obtain mercy and find grace and some help in time of need." Paint a picture in your mind. It's how you pray to God. It's who you pray to as a father. But as you go to your knees, if you... Hey, let me ask you something. In your heart and mind, do you have a quiet place?
Yes.
Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone. A corner in your house where you can go to and you can just close the door, turn the lights off, and get alone with God.
Amen.
And you know what? Instantly, you're before that throne.
Amen.
You say, "No, it's not a throne. It's a wall. It's a curtain. And there's pencil shavings on the floor. And there's dogs running around upstairs. It's chaotic. It's crazy. Ah! Put earplugs in. Man's best friend. What'd you say? Hello? Selective hearing. It blocks a lot out. It helps your prayer life. Yeah, amen. Brings the frequency down a little bit. So where is the place that you can pray to? You know, it's funny, this is only my introduction. I'll give you the rewards real quick, I promise. Because they're right in that text. I don't want you to get robbed from, guys. Can I just say that prayer is a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Prayer is a refreshing thing. You say, "You don't know my lot in life." You're right. Nor can I even fix it. But He can. He can. He can get you walking on water if you'll just enjoy Him in prayer. Look at this. Look at Revelation chapter 5. So I got a throne established. And then the Lord said, "Let us boldly." He doesn't say come in timidly, like, what's the key to the lock? Jesus is the door. You've already gone through Him, right? He's the door. You can go to the throne anytime. You're not going to say, He's not going to boot you. You're accepted into the Beloved, so come on. See, and that's what the devil hates. He hates Christians that are in fellowship with God. He hates Christians that pray. He loves saved people that are just trusting the worldly way because they have no power. We have power. We have power. With no group prayer, there's no group blessing. Thank God we pray. So you have the place where you go to when you pray. You find a place to pray. You say, "I don't know how to pray." Well, work on it. Talk to God from your heart. You learn this book and you take God at His promises. And then you bring before Him and He goes, "Oh, you got me there." Yeah. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him that day." You got bills? You got finances? "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Yeah. You can hold Him to it. Not only is Jesus a good Jewish lawyer, but He's a great Jewish banker. He always gets return on the thing that He invests in. So now, the way you talk to Him and who you're talking to, a father, but the place when you're praying, where you're going, visually in your mind, you're coming before the throne of God. And you're allowed to come. He says, "Let us boldly come into the throne of grace." But when you pray, what's God think of it? Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Oop, I'm in Hebrews. Who's got Revelation 5, 8? Anybody out there? No? All right, if I beat you to it, I'll read it. All right, here we go. I beat you. Maybe I didn't tell you. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. So now you're coming before a throne. Now you're accepted and allowed to come to his throne. And look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vial full of odors, which are the what?
Prayers
of the saints, guys.
Amen.
Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Now, Pastor Grissom calls men's cologne perfume. I don't care what you call it. I think it smells good. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. How about God? You know, in that Old Testament, in that tabernacle or that temple, you had the outer court, you had the holy place, and you had the Holy of Holies. And that holy place was shrouded. And then in the holy place, there is a veil right there that separated the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was and where the cherubim were and where the blood was placed on the mercy seat. But you know what was right outside? There was furniture in there. There was a lazy boy. No, there was a lazy boy. What was in there? There was some bread in there, and there was a couple other things in there. But there was an altar of burnt incense. And they used to take that incense, and it smelled real good when it burnt. And God would smell that odor in that Holy of Holies, and he'd go, "Oh, I like that smell.
Amen.
I like that smell." Well, that's what it says right there in verse number 8, which are the prayers of the saints. Look at Revelation chapter 8. See, this is real. This is how God sees your prayers. Revelation chapter 8, verse number 3. It says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there were given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the incense, and he should offer it, with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Now, you know, when you pray, you know what's going on when you pray. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that something to consider? Isn't it such a privilege to pray, knowing that prayers get things done? Prayers can do more than what man would ever think about doing or could do. I'll give you this, and then I'll close with my 8 points that I have on point. No, that's not true. Let me read this to you. Now we know who we're talking to. Now we know where we're at when we're talking and what happens. What are some things that you might say to your father? As maybe when you're talking to your father, per se your mother, the Bible says New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. "My mom just passed away. I appreciate your guys' sympathy and your thanks, but I guarantee you, her and I had some lucid moments of some conversations." What would you say to your father, possibly before your throne? Or how about like maybe when you have a loved one on your deathbed? Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. What would you say to him? When the shadow of death is starting to peek around that corner, and you've got a month left, you've got 2 months left, you've got 2 weeks left, you've got a week left, and you can still conversate with them. You know, the familiarity breeding contempt kind of goes away at that point, doesn't it? Death has a way of kind of sobering you up just a little bit, doesn't it? Birth of a baby has a way of kind of sobering you up just a little bit. Because you're dealing with eternity. I wonder, what would you say? Maybe you'd say to a loved one that's in that type of peril. You know, all pride goes away and all contriteness and humility come on the scene. And maybe you'd say something like, "I love you." You say that to your father, "I love you."
Yes.
Now, maybe you didn't have a good father. Maybe you didn't have a good mother. And maybe you can't say that, okay. But you can say that to your father.
Amen.
"I love you."
Amen.
And you know what? It's a lot better when you're not saying it so much here, but when you're saying it in your actions. "I love you." Jesus Christ, God's provision for us, did not say, "I love you," here. He said, "I love you," here.
Amen. Amen.
And man, it did so much for the Father. And it did so much for us. How about you with your Father? When was the last time He heard you say, "I love you"? You're going through bitterness, you're going through peril, you're going through heartache, you're going through just like Job, and the Bible says, and Job sinned not with his lips. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, get away from me, you old woman, leave me alone, I'm going to worship God. I love you. And the devil says, how can he do that? I'm putting him through the ringer, how can he say he still loves you? Hey, split foot, you know Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. Yeah, I know it, I know it, I know it. I wonder if you'd say, hey, mom or dad, do you remember when? You know, remember when? Yeah. Ooh, no, that wasn't a very good one. I know, but it was something else. We got through, you remember? Hey, Father, man, you remember? Remember when we were out there on that ship? Yeah, that was a rough one. And our leader was back there on the boat. Man, we thought we were going to sink. Boat was filling in. Fish were flopping around our ankles, up to our neck in it. And then he whispered, "Peace, be still." And he said, "Oh, ye a little faith." We were drowning. You remember? Some memories with your Father. Some memories. Some things you might say, or maybe, I don't know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Some things you might say to your Father is, "I love you. Hey, do you remember?" Or throughout your day, do you find yourself once in a while as a Christian saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry." They say the closer you get to the light, the more flies or the more dust you'll see. I wonder if you would, I'm sorry for, what, as I mentioned before, what I should do or what I shouldn't do. Or maybe you'd say, "Hey, mom," or "Hey, dad, man, you really did a great job right there." You compliment your mother. You compliment your father. "I want to tell you something. I'm very appreciative, Father, of what you did for me right there. I didn't understand, and hindsight's always 20/20, but Father, I would like to thank you, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I don't know, what are you talking to your Father about on a daily basis? If the roles were reversed, and He was talking to you the way you talk to Him, how would you feel? You say, "Well, that's kind of convicting." Yeah, but that's like, I don't know, what do you say? That's like right there where the rubber meets the road. I mean, that's relationship, right? Father, you took care of me. You did very well. Thank you. So at the end of the day, from the rewards and the scenario that you should find in your life when you're talking to God and you come before His throne, you find them right there. And if we were living back in the 18th century, I could go another hour and you wouldn't mind it. But I can't do that right now because I'd walk out of here and I'd feel guilty as all get out that I kept you an hour and a half. But the things that I have right here are found right in this chapter, and I'll just give them to you. Because I think that you've been ministered to, and I hope that you'll go do something with what you've heard today. Because God, folks, doesn't need you and He doesn't need me. We're not a God. We're not the end-all, be-all. I don't care how much money you got in your bank. I don't care what you got lined out as far as what you think your little heaven on earth is. God desires your fellowship. God wants your fellowship. God wants to bless you as a good father. But God wants to walk in you and God wants to be glorified through you. And you have to march to His drum, Nathan. What are some things to talk to God about in prayer? Here they are. Penance. Penance. That's you talking about God about where you're being convicted for your sins of omission or sins of commission. God's talking to you about doing something and you ain't doing it. That's sin. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. Ignorance will not buy mercy, in a court of law. Talk to God about praise. Hallowed be thy name. Hello? Talk to God about praise. Those people before that, those angels and them elders before the throne are continually saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come." Now you say, where's that at? In prayer. In praise to God. Yes. I wonder, you know what? Just making God's cheeks red. Just causing his cheeks to get red because you're praising him so much. I'll give you another one. Not only penance, not only praise, but how about petitions? He says they're asking for the kingdom to come. He says asking for his will to be done in your life. He says asking for daily bread. Petitions. Out of all that, I'll give you this right here. Would you be willing to say to God, God, I will give you the rest of my life. The rest of my life, God, I will give it to you. That's something that you might want to consider in your prayer time. Penance, praise, petitions, and then you have the promises of God. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Relationship with your Father in prayer is you having His promises in your heart and then going to Him and saying, can I work out my salvation with fear and trembling? For it is He that worketh in me both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Can I be partaker of that divine nature through the promises of God? As Americans, let me ask you something. You say you've been meddling all day long. You've almost made me mad. Good. At least I know that it's working. Amen?
Amen.
You need to get angry.
Amen.
Be angry and sin not. As Americans, red, white, and blue. They say these colors don't run. This thing's black and white. How many promises of this book do you have in your heart that you can go to God with? I told him the other day, you've got insurance on your car, you've got insurance on your house, you've got life insurance, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered. But when it comes to the Christian life, no coverage. Ignorance. Listen, that's not helping you, and that's not helping me. Going to God with His promises. And then lastly, this is what it's all about. It's right here. Here's a reward. Look at verse 13. I'm done. I always get to say that once. I'll just quote it for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 says this. Lead us. Let me ask you. In your life as a Christian, time and chance happen to everybody. Jesus said, the blind lead the blind, and they both shall fall into a ditch. Let me ask you something. In your Christian life, can you look back and see the providence of God because of your efforts of faithfulness to this book and to prayer and to the church house? And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought. God is not a God of chance. As Americans, as saved people, you view your life. Prayer is a thing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, it says, lead us. The things that you do in your life, you can find out what God wants you to do, and God will speak to you in prayer. As you make the sacrifice and as you burn your life like a candle and like an incense in prayer, God will lead you in your life.
Yes.
And with no prayer, no leading. You open yourself wide open. Don't have a clue. Just a little wandering. And then you get yourself into a fix and you go, oh God. He says, I had that thing worked out for you a long time ago, but you wanted to do what you wanted to do. You didn't want to spend time with me. You didn't want to pray. So, you made the bed. I'm glad it's bringing repentance. Now, are you interested in praying? Foxhole religion. It's okay, God will take it, but it's not necessary. There is not a problem in your life God can't work out.
Amen. Amen.
Not one problem. You say, listen, they've gone through it before, what you're going through, and what you're being robbed of, your joy, your happiness, or your peace. God, you can get it worked out. Prayer is a great place to start. And that's why God brings things into people's lives for that contriteness, for the squeezing of that olive so that it gets emptied of everything that's inside, for the squeezing of the sponge so that it gets so dry, so then when God comes around, God can get sucked up into that vessel. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Talking about prayer today. How is your prayer life? I understand we're busy. I'm busy. I'm right with you, man. I'm working 40, 50 hours a week. 40 hours a week, 45, whatever, sometimes. God is calling to you, individual, today to humble yourself. And if needs be, to come up to this old-fashioned altar and to talk with God. And to say, God, I want to set a stake. I want to set a precedent. I think some things that have been said here have bothered me. They've encouraged me. I don't know a whole lot about prayer, to be honest with you, but I want to know. Is there anybody like that in here today? I'm just not satisfied with my prayer life. Prayer isn't real to me. The throne isn't real to me. If there is, I would encourage you to come forth. Come up and pray. A trip to the altar can alter your life.